Is it working?
Yep, all good.
Elliot, how do I pronounce your last name? I don't want to screw this up. I already did it like
Pinocchio. Once
on the show.
Yeah, it's Panico.
Panico, that's right, Panico. So okay, close. so we are here with Elliot Panico, goalkeeper for Nashville SC, which is insane. He is a Patreon supporter, which is doubly insane. He listens. So thrilled to have you here, man. This is the only time it's going
Wi-Fi
to sound
is
like
terrible,
a real...
which is triply insane.
It is not terrible. It's not that bad. Is it bad?
You totally stopped talking, and we're both like,
But
see, this is the glory of this software, is it still got recorded, and then now we're just going to have to edit out me ruining Luke's thing. So it records our ends.
Okay.
So, and not just what we see. So if it does blah out, just keep talking, and then it'll fill its way in.
Just presume that we're saying a thing that's great. And very profound. And you're like, Luke, my gosh, you are the better than Gomer. I see why people are Team Gomer first, then, you know, Team Luke afterwards.
Yep.
So
a lack of standards.
Elliot, one reason why I'm really, really pumped to like have you on the podcast is I feel like this is like the end of our trifecta of stuff that like Luke likes, which is like we've already had the music people on. We've had a couple of movie people on, really just like one person. And now we have a sports person. I don't have anything else. Like I could stop now. This is just great. So I'm like, you play in MLS. You've been, how long have you been with Nashville?
This is my fifth season with them.
No. Oh, wow. Okay. So it's been that long. And then did you play in the USL at all?
I did, but I was on loan when I did that. So I was with, I've only played for Nashville professionally. And then throughout my time with Nashville, I've gone to USL teams to play games for them.
Cool. Nice. And then I guess I'll just kind of start, not that like this is quite like a real, like, you know, heavy, I'm like heavy hitting thing, but how hard is it to be a pro athlete and like be a like real Catholic?
I would say that it's not that hard. I feel like, you know, I feel like you could relate it to any other job. Like you're going to have people mm-hmm. who are either Catholic or not, who are going to put things first in their lives, and it can be any sort of things. But I don't know. With being a professional athlete, you know, there's its challenges with travel or maybe games on the road on Sundays, or like last year I was asked to play a game on Easter and that kind of sucked, but you know, and then there's like the partying and this and that and everything, but you'll be surprised like how many guys you'll meet who put their faith first in professional sports, and you know, they give us chaplains and things to help us with that. So they do a good job of trying to support, you know, your life outside of soccer.
It is amazing to me. My family were, let me rephrase. I almost said the wrong thing. I almost said my family were really big fans of NASCAR. My wife and kids are really big fans of NASCAR. I allow it to happen on my television screen in between YouTube videos. But the interesting thing is when they were doing a cup on Easter Sunday and my kids were all like, aren't a lot of these guys Christian? Like, why would they even do that? You know? And it's like so hard, especially like football, like all of the, you know, holidays, like Thanksgiving and stuff. It's like, there comes a point where professional sports is like, well, guess what? America has the day off from their corporate jobs. So this means they must be entertained by athletes. Sorry. I mean, like, that's gotta be super hard.
Yeah, it was tough. Last year, because I was asked to play for our second team on Easter Sunday. So Nashville, we didn't have a game, but then we have a second team, which I got to play a couple games for last year, just to kind of stay sharp and get the minutes. And so they were like, okay, everybody's off Easter Sunday, but Elliot, we'd like you to play in this game to get you some minutes. And I was like, man, you know, I could say no, it's Easter, but you know, then what were my coaches going to think? Like, is it okay if I play on Easter? Like, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, went to Mass in the morning at like 7 a.m. And then I actually got on a bus and drove. We played in Cincinnati. We played their second team. So drove up there and came back.
Oh, nice. You know, it's there are worse places to spend Easter than say out, you know, in Cincinnati. I was really surprised.
I don't know.
I was so surprised. Okay. So you reached out to me, I want to say like last May, and you were, I think you were playing, it was either May or June. It was right before I was going to grad school. And then, I remember you played it. So, for people that don't know, there's this big tournament now between MLS and the league down in Mexico. I think it takes place over the month of August. And I believe that was when you came in against FCC, right? Mm-hmm. Like the tail end of that game. Now I have not gone to one MLS game yet at that same. I've been to two US men's, not no, either two or one men's on the national team's game, games there, but I've been a bunch to their games when they were in the USL. And so I'm not like a diehard. They're probably my third like soccer team, but I do care, right? And when you came on, it was crazy how easily I switched. Like it wasn't even a question. Like it was like so long, all of the like, you know, I bleed like, you know, like FCC till I die my ass. You know, like it was like like an immediate like switch. And it's really interesting when it becomes like that much more like human for on the fan side, that it's just so easy to change. And I remember thinking like, this is so like, and I was in, like a room, like everyone else there was like all into the game. It was very fun. And I was like, cause you had a,
you're like, that guy gives us money on exactly Patreon.
I was like, screw you all.
We need him to win.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
he gets a bonus. Maybe we do too.
I bleed like yellow and whatever their other color is, you know? Uh-huh.
Turns out what Luke is trying to say is he bleeds green, yeah. Cash money, yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but yeah.
Luke's like, it's so easy to switch alliances when people pay me to switch alliances. It's true. It's true.
Is it like, I've like always kind of wondered, like when you talked for a bit before a person on this call was 5 minutes late.
More like seven. I apologize.
Yeah. Do you like, did you have like a favorite team in the league before that? Like how, like for you, how like interested are you as like a fan, or how much is that just kind of all gone now where it's more like, I just enjoy the sport. I will watch it, but I'm not like, I don't cheer for this team or anything quite like that.
Yeah. I never really had like a favorite team in the MLS growing up. When David Beckham came over, I was super excited for that. I had a LA Galaxy jersey. I grew up in Charlotte, so like there was no reason for me to like an LA team.
Yeah.
And then when I was in college, I had a teammate of mine get drafted to the Chicago Fire. So I started to watch their games and root for them. But yeah, I mean, since, you know, playing and being a part of the league, it's taken on a different viewpoint of like less fandom and more just like, oh, I like to watch games because it's valuable for me to watch for my job. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does that take the fun out of it, or does it make it like all the more serious?
I would say that like when we're preparing for a game on the weekend, it's definitely more serious, and I'm more so looking at like tactically, you know, what are they doing? Who are their guys who are most dangerous, and what do they like to do? But, you know, sometimes we'll be in the locker room before the game, and we'll just turn a game on that's happening on the East Coast. And that's more just like, oh, I'm just watching a soccer game for fun. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the moment in time, I guess.
Sure. Go ahead, Gilmer.
I was just going to say, you have arguably the most stressful position in soccer, right? Being a goalkeeper. I remember I was a goalkeeper, not to impress you, but in my rec league in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
when I was 10. And I mean, like the thought of all of, like, hey, here's their best player who's also the fastest and the strongest, and he's coming at me with all he has, and I have this giant hole that I have to defend. and everyone hates me if I don't do it perfectly. Let's go. Right. Yeah. I loved goalie. My kids were also goalies, not all the time in their little like fun little YMCA leagues, but all of them took turns doing goalie. Was goalie the goal? Was that where you trained up?
You know, the goal was exactly what you described, like be the best, the fastest, the strongest. And the reality is I was none of those. So they stuck me in goal. And yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I started playing goalie when I was like 11 or 12, and I had a lot of fun doing it. And then you slowly find out like, oh man, like I'm judged like not in 90 minutes, but like in two actions, right?
Yeah.
That's just like part of the job, as they say, but you know, everybody falls in love with the game in different ways, and you know, you just kind of deal with it, and I don't know, move on, I guess. But
I can say, as the fat kid on the team, I used to like rejoice that my physical body took up more of the goal than the other team's goalie, because I was the fat kid, right? And then I would laugh at my teammates who are like sweating profusely, dying, and I'm like, no, I'm fine. I had to take an extra 6 steps outside of the line on the opposite side of the field where all the action is. And then I can remember sneaking Gatorade bottles and hiding them behind the post, so when no one was looking, I'd be like, oh, I'm so thirsty. It's so hot out here. Oh, yeah, that was my life.
Yeah, it definitely.
That doesn't really translate into Major League Soccer.
Well, no, it's definitely there are a lot of downsides to being goalkeeper, but the upsides are when it's preseason and everybody's running except you, and you're just, you know, hanging on the sidelines, and you finish your little jog around the field, and then you look over and half the team's like on the floor gasping for air. You're like, it's a great day to be a goalie.
Today is a good day to be a goalie.
That's awesome. How much has, I would be curious, like, because I feel like in goalie, because like you always hear goalies have to have like a short term like memory, right? Like it's like if the bad thing happens, okay, I gotta go, it's, you know, on to the next thing. Unless you're Tim Howard and it's 2014, they're playing Belgium and it just doesn't ever stop. Mm-hmm. That's a deep cut for only a few people. Gomer has no idea.
Who?
I
have no.
You don't know who Tim Howard is?
That name.
Yes, no. You. Okay. Anyways, I'm so angry at you right now. He was like he was a bald goalkeeper that doesn't really, unlike narrow it down. He was a goalie for the U.S. He was very good. How much, like, I think, like, you know, Christ constantly tells us to like not to worry, to have hope. And I feel like that actually could be a skill set, like in your faith, to like does like that kind of like help like inform your like faith a bit? Are there like some stuff that you're kind of able to take from sports, apply to your faith, and then like also like vice versa?
Yeah, definitely. I think both of those things are a big aspect of my life. And yeah, it's having my life as a Catholic and living my faith out has helped me view sports with a better lens, rather than vice versa, right? Rather than like viewing the Catholic faith through a lens of soccer.
Yeah.
And yeah, like having a short-term memory about making a mistake. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can relate that to like forgiveness or mercy, right? And so I think the biggest thing that's helped me in soccer through my faith is just knowing that, yeah, I'm going to make mistakes, but they're not going to be like the end of my life. They're not going to be and like, you know, let's say they are like the end of my career, right? Like, let's say I make some mistakes and then lead me down a path where nobody wants to sign me as a soccer player anymore. Well, you know, my life still goes on. Jesus still loves me and everything's going to be okay. But on the flip side of that, like if something does go wrong, like I know that I can wake up the next day and, you know, I'm still loved for who I am and not for like the mistakes I made yesterday, whether they be in soccer, you know, or in life, right? Like there's forgiveness in both aspects. you know, sometimes not immediately from your teammates, but at least interiorly, I know that, like, all right, I made a mistake. I can move on. Like, it's not that end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not defined by it.
No. And yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gomer.
Well, I was just going to say and you can tell that the Riverside is being a little slow. So we might like talk over each other a little bit, but, yeah, there's this beautiful thing about detachment. Like, if you can derive your dignity and sense of self-worth through God, right, you discover meaning through your relationship with the Father in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, then what ends up happening is you can receive losses and grieve over losses and mistakes, but they don't end your existence. And there's this uniqueness that comes with detachment, right? Like, if you're aware of your ultimate dignity, detachment means like you don't have to become lost in this thing. Mm-hmm. And you find that people who define their existence by a thing, they might be very good because their entire existence is dependent on that. But the moment, it's not great for long-term success, right? Long-term life happiness, because every soccer player will eventually get old. You can only push the human body so hard for so long before parts of your body wear out, and then all of a sudden you can't keep up with the younger guys, you know? And it's just amazing how if you put all of your eggs in this one basket, your identity, your self-worth, who you are in the world as I am this goalkeeper, you have a bad night, you have a bad, you know, career or whatever, like you said, like a career ender. For most people, that's the end, right? Like, especially the higher and more, you know, more achieving you are and the more status and success you have, it feels like this dangerous pyramid, like you're right teetering on the top and at any time you could lose it all. Mm-hmm. And you hear this like on like artists who have achieved this super fame and notoriety and whatever, like they talk about this like grave, like Madonna, you know, she's had so many number one hits and she said, I'm happy for like a week. And then I just am afraid that I'm going to lose it all. So I immediately mm-hmm. go and start writing again. It's like, their self-worth is the applause of people and the honor that they get. And it's like, that's no place to build a life, right? So detachment from outcome is a huge thing for your happiness, but also for success in whatever you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long were, like, you're like,
welcome, America.
Luke. that was
Luke frozen? Oh, there he is.
I'm sorry. And then I think my headphones are being weird. So I apologize if I'm like, huh? Like, so has your faith always been important to you, or like, did you have like a conversion in like high school or college or?
Yeah. I grew up Catholic. I was baptized as a baby and grew up in a good, Catholic household. I would say the emphasis was not so much on the faith, but on just being a morally good person. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, came naturally to me. That was something that my parents were able to get me to want to do, which I'm really grateful for. And so going into college, I would go to mass, on my own, and I wasn't really into partying or, you know, whatever else. But I didn't really have a personal relationship with Christ. Didn't really bring my faith outside of Sunday mass. And it was funny, one of my teammates who he is not Catholic, he's just like a non-denominational guy, he invited me for a Bible study one day, and we went to Starbucks, and yeah, we were just reading the Bible, and I was like, this is great, you know, I've never really done this before, but I'm really enjoying it. And the second or third week that we did that, we read Revelations, I think it was 3:15, because you were lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. And man, that was just like a sucker punch. And it was just then that I felt like God was calling me to pick a side, right? You know, either you're all in or you're all out. And I just knew that I didn't want to be out, right? I didn't want to have, I just felt like I would being out of there would be like, I would have no direction with my life. And so, yeah, that was freshman year of college. That was kind of the turning point for me towards living a life, you know, walking with my faith daily. Went to confession, you know, for the first time since like my first reconciliation. That was a powerful experience. And yeah, from there on, going to Bible studies and doing that whole thing. So that's kind of where my faith journey started.
That's cool. That's cool. The first Protestant Bible study I ever went to was a Young Life-led Bible study. And they're like, hey, we just want everyone to, we're going to read from the book of Daniel and just find out, you know, the story of like the three young men tossed into the fiery furnace. And I'm like, oh, cool. I know the story. So we start reading it. And I was there because there was one girl who was teetering on ditching the Catholic faith. And
wherever that like happens, there is Gomer.
Yeah, I am here. No, and so she invited me, and everyone, like, and no one else really knew who I was. So we go in there, and we all have, like, a handful of us have Catholic Bibles, and everyone else had, like, you know, the NIV or whatever. And so we start going, and they were like, yeah, we're just going to read chapter 3, blah, blah, blah. And that's where, in the Catholic Bible, Daniel has, the Catholic Bible has, like, 50 extra verses. It's the canticle that Nebuchadnezzar sang or whatever. And and then so it starts, it was so funny because like this girl's like, my Bible keeps going, and I was like, don't bring that up. Oh crap, here we go. What Bible is this? They added stuff in here. And I was like, you took it away. Anywho, we gotta go. and then we talked about the Apocrypha or the Deuterocanonical books. It was fun. Everyone had a laugh. It was great. So
I remember in high school, my like best friend, his parents ran our youth group, and they were Protestant converts, but like not all the way.
Still a Protestant.
It was very Protestant. So like I was like, all it was like Bible studies, like just like all the time. And so I got very, very used to that. So
Luke, did you get really into the word?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes.
I just love the language around it. Whenever I start doing men's, like the prison ministry stuff, they're all like, everything out of them is like, are you steeped in the word? Do you have sound doctrine in the word? And I'm like, yes, I do. Okay, let's go. So fun. So how do you keep it alive? Like going on. Do you have like priests that you're close with that, you know, or people in your Catholic faith that kind of outside of listening? I just imagine you like you're on a bus ride, just all the endless episodes of the back catalog of
You're
catching foxes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have this image of you like a, you know, there's that Metallica song that they covered, the On the Road Again. I was singing the wrong song. You know, the guitar sadness.
Oh,
what?
Here I go.
My sweat pours out my body, like the music that I play. And you like listen to that song, and then you're like, all right, let's begin again. Catching Foxes episode 1. What's with this weird music? Let's go. And then you just now, how do you deal? How do you deal with being on the road like that? It's exhausting for me, and I'm like every 2 weekends, you know, or every other weekend.
Yeah. As far as being on the road, they've got a good setup for us. It's nothing like, you know, an MLB player who's like on the road for 20 days and they've got, you know, 19 games during those 20 days. It's a pretty typical schedule. We'll have like a game on Saturdays. Every now and then it'll be on a Wednesday, but let's say we have a game Saturday night. We'll practice here in Nashville on Friday, and then we'll get on a plane Friday afternoon, go there, stay the night Friday. We're there Saturday, play the game, and then after the game, we'll fly back, and I'll be able to be home, I don't know, probably around midnight Saturday night. So
nice.
It's not like we're gone very long. You know, I say the longest that we're ever gone is like 1 to 2 weeks in January is for preseason. So that's a tough trip to be away from the family for such a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you, not that I stalked you on the internet, but I did. you like are like married and do you have
his LinkedIn profile is out of date.
Yeah.
Like, you have
I'm married. Yeah, I have a wonderful wife and a 1-year-old daughter.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice. In so it's so fun.
Yes. Yes. Well, it just got a lot of fun because our daughter, she just started walking.
Oh, so, that's fun.
Yeah. We're mobile. We're able to kind of like be a little autonomous, but not yet dangerous to where we're moving quickly and getting into things we shouldn't be getting into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's been a great, she just started walking like 2 weeks ago. So it's been a great really 2 weeks. Yeah.
That's really funny.
I just imagine she walks over to a soccer ball and kicks it, and you're like, oh, it's happening. Yeah. The quickening.
Start the program.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be doing 2-a-days now. If you're not puking, you're not working. Let's go. You don't get to be a goalie. I am. Start doing laps.
Yeah, if you wake up at night for a bottle, we're going to start training. So think twice about that.
Yeah.
Better be Gatorade.
So how is that like when I always like feel bad for guys who have not like feel bad, but like I always wonder, I listen to a lot of almost soccer podcast, like not as much as I did, but like still it's kind of a lot. And like when I hear about guys who are either they're going out to Europe or they're like national team on duty and they're gone for like a couple of weeks, like how do you when like you could be sold to another team or like that and you have no you kind of like because you do have a bit of a say over it's not like baseball where you have like no choice. If they wanted you to go to like this other team, you have to approve that, right? Kind of.
I know it's a little bit weird. I think it depends on the situation. MLS, but, okay, yeah. It depends kind of who you are. Like I would say that's usually negotiated in the contract. If there's like a no trade clause or like if you have to give permission, but I mean, there's been times where, I came into the locker room. I said good morning to a teammate. Got ready. I'm on the field. And I go, hey, where's so-and-so? And they're like, oh, yeah. The GM grabbed him. And he got traded before he came out to training. So he grabbed his things and left. And wow. I was like, well, I didn't get to say goodbye. I said good morning to him. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, stuff like that does happen.
Do you have rules like you're no longer allowed to say his name? You're like, he who left from the before time, from the long, long ago, is no longer with us.
Right.
He I just imagine you guys have some bizarre. Yeah, yeah. You guys have some ritual like he is gone, and you like cleanse his locker and stuff.
Right. He who was, yes.
He who was. He who was, but is no more.
We don't speak of Dax McCarty anymore. Who is Dax? So with like you and like your wife, is there like this kind of like understanding of like, hey, like there's always a chance that like we could just all of a sudden we just got to go. Is that kind of tough?
Yeah, definitely. Our first year of marriage. And then even before that, we were engaged for a year. We did long distance because we got engaged at the end of college for me. And then 2 months later, I moved to Nashville because I got drafted. And then we decided that, okay, because she was going to start doing nursing school. And we decided that, okay, you could come do nursing school in Nashville. But yeah, I could get traded. I could get cut. Like any number of things could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she just stayed in Charlotte with her parents and did a 2-year program. And, yeah, I mean, she's really great about being flexible with my job. And thankfully, this is the 5th year that we've been in Nashville, and there's been some stability.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, right, like she did nursing school for a couple of years, and then I spent a year in Austin on loan to a team. And then I spent a couple months in Indianapolis on loan. So our base has been here, but you know, there's a lot of moving pieces, and that's just a part of being like a young professional. Like, you got to kind of go through the hurdles, and but as you kind of progress along, things can get more steady, you know, or they don't, right? Like, or you're done. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and that's just how it goes.
Have you ever thought about going over to Europe?
You know, not really. I think that at least, kind of once I got into like the professional sphere, I was already, you know, making decisions with my wife about her schooling, our life together, and things like that. And so, I mean, at the very beginning, I was just like, I would love to do this for a living, right? Like, I'd love a contract. Let me be on the team, you know?
Yeah. And happy to be here.
Happy to be here. So, I mean, going to Europe will be great. Like, that's a cool opportunity. And if that did ever come up, like, you know, maybe we could make it work. But I mean, go USA, you know, it's the best country in the world. So why would you want to leave?
Yeah.
Take that, Japan.
They do clean their lockers. No, because like you hear a lot about people on US soccer Twitter and with US soccer, like just it's a weird fandom. But you like we pay attention to like where everyone's at, right? And you always hear people talk about like we should be pushing people to play out in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I actually like I agree with that, and I don't because I understand the idea is that like you're playing against like the highest competition that you can, but then it's like you are actual people with lives. And so if you like have a wife, have a kid, have a family, perhaps you have like a parent who's ill, you know, like it's like when because like there's a so you take okay, Gomer, have you heard of a guy who's who goes by the name of Landon Donovan?
No.
Are you joking? Okay. Anyway,
why would I joke about
because he's the Landon most famous Donovan. U.S. soccer player in history. He was our age. He was a guy that scored the goal in 2010 against Algeria. I guarantee you.
Landon Donovan. I thought you were talking about another guy.
You have no idea. Okay. So, anyways, he's like the best we've ever produced. Well, I'm going to ask you that in a bit, but
he's the Michael Gormley of soccer.
Yeah, there is like Luke who goes by Clint Dempsey, but that's neither here nor there. And so like he goes out to Europe when he's like I think he's like 17, and it just like doesn't work out at all. Then he has a great World Cup in 2002. He tries to go and it just doesn't work. And people always said like they will like honestly almost crucify the guy because like he didn't go play out like Europe. And I'm like for him, and he's been pretty vocal just about things like mental health and stuff. He's like, I need to be on the West Coast. Cause he kind of had this, like he was so good that he could basically go like wherever. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, I mean, I'm not going to get into the weeds. I so desperately, I don't want to, but like, to me, I'm like, he doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe me a thing as a fan of USSR. He doesn't owe me. And I feel bad for you guys at times because it's just like I feel like being like a fan is really great, but people can be terrible, like absolutely terrible. And does that ever like get just exhausting after like a while?
I mean, it can. Like people say horrible things. They'll say horrible things to your face, and then they'll say even worse things on the internet. And that's just how people are.
People are the worst.
Yeah, they're the worst. But I was telling you beforehand that I don't have Twitter, and that's one of the reasons why I don't have it is because I don't really want my life to be that public, and I don't want that much outside information on my life, like good or bad, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, you've seen enough of that, like in the media, like even on Instagram, but at least for me, like you get feedback from your teammates, your coaches, and even fans. So yeah, people like have a lot to say about soccer, and it's great, like, and any sports. It helps drive the game. It helps make people better, and it's fun to talk about. Like, I like talking about that stuff, too, about, like, this guy versus that guy, or was that the right move for him, or things like that. But, yeah, at the end of the day, we're all just people. And, yeah, maybe staying in the States is good for somebody, or going overseas is better for somebody else. Like, there's one guy, Darlington Nagbe, who he plays for the Columbus Crew. I don't know him personally, but from what I've heard around the league, he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. And he's an incredible player. Like, I don't think anybody would deny that. And he's told the men's national team that he doesn't want to get called in because he wants to spend time with his family. And, like, he's made that known that that's his priority, and he doesn't want to miss time with his family. And so, like, that's his choice. And not a lot of people make that choice. But, yeah, I think some people forget that, you know, everybody has a family and everybody has their own life that they need to live and has their own circumstances, and they need to make choices for themselves.
Can I tell you?
Yeah, it's just funny, like, the way you were even saying it earlier and Luke was describing it, like, oh, yeah, I might be sold here and I was loaned to these people. And you're like, oh, I feel very much uncomfortable, this slave-based language.
Like, it does get a little weird. It gets a little weird, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And not in a lot of career fields do you have, like, language like that and or even anything even approximate. It's not like Texaco is going to lend a bunch of accountants to Chevron so that they can get their books in order. You know,
like, yeah.
Well, I'm just going to loan you, my guys. So how do you stay grounded in the middle of that? Like, there's an element of, I mean, all of us are an economic product on the open market. Like, all of us are, you know, we all have numbers over our heads, and it's not about our value as human persons. It's about what we provide, the role, the nonprofit, the company, the organization, right? What, you know, you got to make them five times more than what they pay you in order to be a part of your team, so, or part of their organization. So it's like, yeah, we are all economic products, but at the same time, good Lord, it's so much more blatant in professional sports. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, I don't know. You just fake it till you make it, I guess. I think I'm still learning that as I go along. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get distracted by, you know, who's playing, who's not playing, you know, how much people are making, you know, where they're playing. And they're like, oh, I'm better than him, but he makes more than me, or, you know, he makes less than me and he's playing, or whatever. You know, there's so many things that you can compare. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a job, right? And whether you're getting paid X amount, or whether you're playing these many games, or you're getting this much notoriety, like, I think what's the best case for me is I just go to work and treat it like any other job. You know, I go and I try and do my best. I try and improve, and then I go home and I do it again the next day. And so having that attitude helps keep me focused on my job and not allow me to get distracted by those types of things.
No. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, and this is like a while ago, we did a B-side where I interviewed a guy named Bobby Warshaw, who played for a bit. And then he did a bunch of comics that I thought was really good. And he wrote this great book called When the Dream Became Reality. And it was, I talked to him about the book. One of the things that really surprised me was how much downtime that, like, he had. And it was really about, like, a guy. You kind of tell it, the book was just a guy in his early mid-30s trying to process the bulk of his 20s, which is, like, if that's not the most catching foxes thing ever, I don't know what is. And it did really seem like there was, like, some guys who just, like, yeah, it's a job, and I, like, you know, have my family. And there are, like, other guys who it's just, like, I hang out with, we, like, party a lot, or I hang out with, like, all my teammates. And there are guys who are, like, we just have, like, barbecues. We just kind of hang out because it's, like, what else are you going to do? You know, I was just, what really hit me was the amount of downtime that there really, like, actually was.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, like you were saying at the beginning, you know, just talking about, like, timing and setting this up and how it's not the off season. And yeah, I mean, I do get a lot of downtime. Like I work from, you know, 7:30 till maybe 1 o'clock sometimes. And then the rest of my day is free. And then, you know, we always have games in the evenings on the weekends, but there's a lot of downtime on the weekdays and yeah, ways to spend your time, whether you have a family or not, or you're just hanging with the fellas or whatever you're doing. But yeah, I'm grateful to have my wife and my daughter because they keep me busy during that downtime.
Seriously. Yeah. Oh, just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. Yeah. Yeah. So one, I just love the fact that a person other than me spoke about Darlington Nagbe on Catching Foxes. That was so wonderful. If you didn't see,
I was
going
to bring it up last week, Luke. But I decided not to.
So one of the things that's like really cool, I think, about America. I know. I heard you. Sorry, I think I'm getting the weird headphone thing again. Hold, please.
6.5 hours later.
Good. Okay, great. And this will just be blended in there like nothing weird happened at all.
Yeah.
So
can you think of a moment where
I have no idea what you actually asked him.
Yeah, no, I was just asking about do you have any particular moments on the field that stand out to you in MLS that was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom was right about me. Yeah. Yeah.
Mama was right.
I am her special boy.
I'd say probably my favorite moment was a combination of moments, a true redemption story, if you will.
Could you talk a little closer to the laptop?
Yes.
It's a garage. It's basically we want you to change your whole life.
Okay.
If that's cool.
Yeah. I'm right here.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect.
Probably my favorite.
So much more intimate.
My favorite moment would be a combination of two games. So I got to play in a championship game. We were playing against Miami for a trophy. It was the League's Cup final. And the game ended up finishing 1-1, so we went to penalties. And the penalties, there's 5 rounds, and it's kind of best of the 5. And so we got to the 5th round, and we needed a save. So it was the last kick. They had a chance to win the game. And so if I didn't save it, the game was going to be over. They would have won. And I made the save. So the game continues on, and now it's sudden death. So each team gets to go. If somebody scores and the other team doesn't, it's over. We keep going back and forth. They just keep scoring. We keep scoring. Everybody on the team goes except for the goalkeepers. So now it's mano a mano, goalkeeper versus goalkeeper. The other guy steps up. He ends up scoring. And so now it's my turn. I step up, and he ends up saving my penalty. So we lose. Miami wins, and that's that. So that's not my favorite moment, if you were wondering.
That moment sucked. Thanks for bringing it up.
But my favorite moment was the fact that we played them a week later in the regular season at Miami. And I got my first MLS shutout against them. Who, Gomer, I don't know if you know who this is, but Lionel Messi plays for them.
Oh, yeah, I do know that.
So,
you shut out Messi? I didn't know that happened.
So that's my favorite moment of
dude.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a big deal.
That's awesome.
So I had to give you the whole arc of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy cow. God, I feel so bad that I missed that now. Because I'm not able to watch as like much as I used to, but I do try to like keep tabs on like on just like how you guys are doing and stuff. But I didn't realize that you shut out Miami.
Yeah, that was fun. That was last year. We didn't even win the game. They just didn't score at me, but I was still happy about that.
That's the, no, dude. Yeah. I mean, that's
like, awesome.
Yeah.
Was there any part of you when like you went against like Messi that was just like, he's not a Catching Foxes fan. I got this.
He listens to the Crunch, the Tool.
Yeah. He's got no taste. Yeah.
Oh, he froze like right at the funny spot.
Dude, that is so funny. Can I ask you, so I do youth ministry all the time. And one of the things that frustrates me is every parent thinks their kid is going to go pro. Mm. And so they spend tens of thousands of dollars every year on Johnny's little travel team. And really, Johnny sucks, but the travel team is happy to take all their money.
Yeah.
When did you know that pro was a possibility? Were you always hardcore? Was your family hardcore about it? Like, oh, Johnny is going to be a soccer player from the womb. And then you're just like, let's do this. Or
yeah, that's a good question. Definitely not from the get go. Like I said earlier, I was not, you know, strong, fast, and athletic. And when I was in high school, I knew that I was good and I played for a travel team. And yeah, my parents paid for that. And I was really grateful that they did. But it wasn't until I got to college and there were some of my teammates who were going on to play professionally. And so I kind of was able to see, okay, well, if this guy can do it, you know, I'm pretty close to him. Like, I think I can do it too. But I agree with you. Like, it's hard when you're in middle school, high school, and you're devoting so much time to something and there may not be a payoff at the end of it, even if you're just talking financially, right? But I think, I don't know. I think the problem is less so with like the parents and more so with the organization and how it costs so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then again, parents are crazy. And I've seen it firsthand on the sidelines, how crazy they can be. So it's a case by case situation.
What's the craziest, like, speaking of our,
let's tap into the crazy here.
Speaking of our conversation from like earlier, what's the craziest, like, the thing you've ever seen a parent do for their kid who's a soccer?
Yeah, Lionel Messi's mom was so pissed.
Yeah, she actually slapped me after the game. I don't know if you saw that.
No me gusta.
No, when I was in high school, there was a parent who kept yelling at their son, you know, do this, do that, run faster, you know, whatever. And the son just had enough of it and turned around and started screaming expletives at their parents. And the whole game just kind of stopped for a second. And then we just resumed like nothing happened. That was probably the craziest thing with parents. But yeah, it's a nightmare sometimes.
My friend's dad told me that he's been ejected from every year at least one game of his son's baseball career. and I was like, really? And he's like, oh yeah, I was definitely that dad. And he's like, and to be honest, I still am. I can't wait to be that granddad. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, since he was in like third grade and started playing baseball, I've been ejected at every. And I'm like, he's in third grade. And he's all like laughing and drinking some Miller Lite, telling me the story. And he's like, yeah, I can't shut up, and I get really mad really easily. So
yeah,
like, okay. He's like, I deserve to be ejected. Don't get me wrong. And when I get ejected, I leave. I'm not there to cause problems, but I'm just there to yell at the other team.
I think I'll be, if Everly plays sports, I think I'll be pretty calm for the most part, because I'll be like, so like when I get really nervous, I get really quiet and I just scream something out loud. That's
expletive.
Like, yeah, that's just crazy.
Where'd that guy come from?
Yeah. Like one, but I don't know. Like, I remember when I was like principal of a really small school, our girls basketball team, they got to the state championship game and they lost. And it was like in overtime, and I just like, well, I got to go. And I just like stood up and like walked away because I was so upset, but I didn't want to show anything. I'm like, wait, I need to be there when they do all the awards and stuff. Like, I was like, sorry, just kind of throwing a fit.
No one thought I'd be that dad on the side of the YMCA soccer field, but I was just there pacing up and down. Let's go. Let's do this. They were like, people would come, like refs would come up to me, be like, hey, coach, we're going to, you know, switch the side. And I'm like, oh, I'm not the coach. And they're like, excuse me? And I'm like, yeah, no, they got a coach and assistant coach over there. I just, the guy with the loud voice. But I was never angry, dad. I was never
very supportive.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yes. Very vocally supportive. And then one day I tripped and fell. I was wearing loafers and I slid on a mud pit in front of everyone. A little muddy patch fell on my ass. My wife still brings that story up at least once a year.
So is like your wife into sports at all, or is it like when you're home, it's like no real sports? It's just kind of like your thing.
She likes sports, but I wouldn't say that she is into sports. She did cross country, track, played lacrosse in high school, and she likes them, but she's. She's definitely not a fanatic about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, you know, I like to watch soccer if you're playing, but if you're not, I really don't mind, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Bowling it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you're saying is she doesn't have an opinion on Berhalter out?
No, but
no.
If you were to ask her, she would just say Berhalter out. She would just say, yeah, time for a change.
She would just go along.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, anyways, Gomer, I'm not even going to try. Woo-hoo. Do you like, okay, this is a selfish question. Do you ever hear me talk about soccer and be like, Luke, you don't know what you're talking about?
I'm gonna say no. But also what I'm going to say is that this is what we talked about earlier with the fact that everything is kind of seen, right? Like there isn't really anything that gets hit under the rug too much and everybody's lives are kind of out there. But I will say that it's not so much like commentary about whether it's, you know, players or coaches or I really don't have a problem with those type of things, whether it's like opinions, but my one pet peeve is American announcers. Like when they're announcing games, it hurts me inside, because growing up, I would always listen to English announcers for the English Premier League, and I don't know if it's the accent or if they just know much more about the game, but it just sounds so much better. And
I love where you're going with this.
It's like they're just talking about it and it's more poetic. And
it is.
The American announcers, they're like, it's like they're trying to prove that they know something. And I'm just like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Like, we're all watching the game, like, we can see what's going on.
Oh man,
we get it. You're smart fellows. We approve of you. You're a good boy, gold star.
You don't have to name names right now, but I'm absolutely going to text you about that later. Are there any soccer podcasts that like you listen to, or is it really more just like, yeah, I just watch the games and that's kind of it.
The only soccer podcast that I listen to is this one. So. Whenever you're talking soccer, this is where I get my information from.
That's what's up. He's like,
wait, who got traded? Luke. That's so insightful.
What happened to Weston McKennie's one friend? That's crazy. Nice. I'm trying to think. I have a bunch of like rapid fire stuff that I just wanted to ask at the end here, as we are getting close to 11 o'clock at night. But I don't want to do that quite yet. If Gomer, if you've got anything that you wanted to ask.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you guys have any in your family, in order to stay grounded or in order to, you know, stay connected? Do you guys do any routines, traditions, family traditions, faith traditions? Do you have anything that kind of keeps you, keeps the rhythm of life flowing in and around soccer and changes and stuff like that?
Yeah, there isn't anything that is super huge that we do. I think one thing that my wife and I do that we've started when we got married and have thankfully continued to do is just praying before we go to bed together.
Nice.
That's something that we do that we try and keep consistent. But other than that, it's going to Mass on Sundays. We found that going to confession and adoration has become increasingly more difficult with a child. So we're still trying to figure that out. But I'd say most recently, a big thing that we've been doing is just hang out with friends from church. We found a good group of friends who also have young children. And the wives will get together. They usually get together once a week, like on Wednesdays, and I'll hang out with the babies while the gentlemen are working. And then 2 weeks ago, us guys, we went to a Jordan Peterson talk when he was here in Nashville. So we went and saw that, and that was fun. It was definitely more over my head than I thought it would be, because I could listen to him talk, but and I like what he has to say, but 70 minutes in a row, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle what he was, he was dishing out. My brain was just on overload after minute 30.
He was like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you found, like, when you hang out with different people, like the weird thing about MLS, it's a gigantic league. Like it's becoming like a bigger league, and it's grown tremendously even over the past 5 years. Are you still able to maintain do people like know who you are if you're at the store, if you're out doing stuff? Like how often do you get stopped?
Really not a lot. And I think part of that is because basically my entire time that I've been here, I've been the backup. So like I haven't gotten a whole lot of playing time. Last year I got to play a little bit more, and even this year I'm starting to play more. So who knows, that may change, but I don't really get stopped like in public because people recognize me.
You also have that cool hat that yes. you wear in Gold, so that helps. I forget, what's that called?
I just call it a helmet.
Okay, because I wore one when I played a rugby. I'm like, does that have a certain name? I could not remember.
It is a rugby helmet. That's
okay.
Yeah,
that's what. Okay, that's okay. Oh, that makes sense, because that's like one of the cool things I think, like when you talked about Darling to like Nagby earlier on. So there was a podcast called the BS Podcast, hosted by Benny like Phil Hauber and Ike Opara, and I forget the other guy who did it, but it was really, really good. And one of the things that like I liked about it was it really like made the players extremely human. They had like everyone on. I mean, like every like big US. They even had Carlos like Vela on. They had like it was a pretty like huge MLS soccer name. And they were like asking and talk about really intimate things about the team dynamics and stuff. And you heard like crazy up stories about, you know, Clint Dempsey almost trying to fight this one coach and like all this stuff. It was very humanizing, and it was like really cool. And that's the thing that I do kind of like about US like soccer right now, in terms of like as like a community, if you will, is it's kind of intimate. Like you can go and see some pretty big names play in an MLS stadium. And what's cool about them is like they're big, but they're not like gigantic. Mm-hmm. And you feel like it really does kind of have like a community vibe. And there's part of me that's like almost bummed to see that go away as things like increase, because it feels like a secret club that you're in that like people just catch on to a bit every now and again. And I can remember as part of that podcast, they did this Zoom call with like, and there was like the people who were coming in and out of this, and we were all just like there on the call. Now we weren't participating; we were all like just like watching. But it was crazy. It was like Darlington Nagby, who was in and out for like a bit. Benny Lake Phil Hubbard, Dax McCarty, Bruce Arena. I'm trying to remember who. It was not any of like your like top guys. Like there was no Landon Donovan, but it was all like the B guys on down. like everyone. And I was like, this doesn't happen in England.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're not having those guys on like a Zoom call and random people are just kind of in and out. And it, I mean, it was like five or six or perhaps even more. I'm trying to remember who else. I want to say like Matt Beasley, Graham McZusey. Like it was all very like 2018. Not that we were in 2018, but like that, those kind of guys. And it is that a thing? Like, can you kind of like, are you able to like, when you take a step back, can you kind of like see like, oh, this, you know, is growing, but we're this weird kind of like it's kind of this weird. I don't know. It's just kind of almost weird that like it's this really big thing, but you can still kind of hide. And it's not like the NFL or a, you know, where it's like, or particularly the NBA where it's like, yes, you can date a Kardashian, but you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like a cool insider's thing.
Yeah.
Almost.
I definitely agree with that. I think, it's been that way for a long time and mm-hmm. only, I don't know, in the past, yeah, I think like you said, 5 to 7 years has it started to become really big on a national scale and at least approaching that way. But I think after the World Cup here, I think that that'll completely change. I think that, yeah, it's not going to be as big as the NFL or the NBA, but maybe it'll be somewhat similar to like the NHL where, yeah, guys are just more like well-known in the, at least in the city that they play in. And
yeah, yeah.
If you yeah, go to the grocery store, like people are going to stop you and want to talk to you and things like that. You know, I'm sure that that happens to some players in some cities now already, but I think after the World Cup, so many people will be more invested in it than before, and it'll be even bigger than it is now.
Is it one of the things that's a little bit weird about, and that's a really good point about the World Cup, which I'm so nervous about. I just, not where I thought we'd be. Anyways, just anywho, like, USM soccer within the fans, it's extremely like left leaning, and particularly with, you know, in more of your independent like media, but even people on the like Athletic who write for that. And I don't want to get you in like trouble or anything, but they're not going to be paying attention to this. But I've heard like people who like write for them talk about how like you should ostracize pro-life like soccer players who were on the national team, and they would particularly go after Jeff Cameron a lot because he's very like right wing. And is that part of the player culture as well, or is it just kind of it, or is it like more like a fan thing? Because it's everywhere, like all the time.
Yeah.
And it can be a little overwhelming, and it honestly feels like you have to kind of like hide any sort of conservative leanings that you might have when you're like at a game or like in conversations, or there will be certain, there's even some chance where I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. No, it's definitely that way from the media and the fans. The players, I'd say it's a mixed bag. I'd say, yeah, it's pretty 50-50. I don't think
that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any like one way that you could call it. But there's definitely, I get that feeling sometimes where, yeah, I'm like, if I'm asked about something, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? Yeah, like, are there certain shirts that they want me to wear that maybe I'm not going to wear?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, that thankfully haven't come to any like immediate consequences or conclusions or had to been forced to do something. But that is definitely like a thought in the back of my mind of like, okay, if this happens and I'm asked to do something, what am I going to say? What am I going to stand up for? Because it's happened to teammates, former teammates that I've had. And so it's a touchy subject for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of that movie, A Man for All Seasons, right? About Sir Thomas More, where he had to thread the needle for so long between what King Henry VIII was doing and what Cranmer and Cromwell were up to and all this stuff. And here he is. He's trying to do his job honorably as the Chancellor of England while being faithful to Rome. And he just knew. And his daughter was begging him to take the oath and, you know, for, you know, get rid of Catholicism. And he's like, she's like, it doesn't matter if you don't mean it in your heart. He's like, to swear something like that is to take your life in your hand, like so much water, and then to go like this, you know. And and it's so powerful because it's like, yeah, this is the part where you have to ask, is my career worth my faith? And it's scary when you have a family, which is why things like supporting Catholics, supporting Catholic businesses, you know, all of these things, these matter because, you know, nonprofits, all that stuff, they matter because they're like a bulwark against the tide of, you know, because these are like, to get all 1984 about it, right? These are like, do you hate the people we hate? Do you love the people we love? Are you on the team, like the real team, the team behind the team? And you're like, whoa, like, yeah, I'm not for breast cancer, but I also don't want to abort babies for your breast cancer research, you know. And you know, it's like all these things that just make, like, they're doing it to out you. It's like when Caesar would roll through town and make everyone bend the knee in an act of reverence to the god that is Caesar, the Christian standing would get rounded up. You know, it's like there's only so much strategy before I just can't bend the knee, you know. And I don't envy you because it feels like they're all purity tests, right? Are you pure mm-hmm. enough to be one of us? One of us. So my prayers are definitely for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it's that it's, I mean it's like, again, like I'm just a fan who's at a bar getting drunk. So not getting drunk anymore. It's been a long time ever since I've done that. But it is weird. It's just it doesn't, like, I think it's a lot of it is the media and the supporters group, like that type of culture, particularly at clubs. But even with the national team, it just, I don't know, it just bumped me out because I'm like, guys, Clint Dempsey voted for Trump, like, clearly. Like you just can't tell me that he did it, as did probably Christian, like, Pulisic. And, like, they will watch who he likes on Instagram. I mean, they don't watch, but, like, I remember, like, one time Christian Pulisic, he liked something on Instagram that was pretty conservative, and people just ripped him apart.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't we have anything better to do? Like, truly, don't we have anything better to do? So as we are wrapping up here, because we're getting a little bit it's been like an hour and a half. One, thank you again for just coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. I have a couple of very selfish questions, if you don't mind, that I ask.
Let's hear.
I'm rapid fire. One, how cool is Dax McCarty? Because he seems like he's awesome.
He's a cool guy, but don't tell him I said that.
Okay. I just, every time I hear him, I'm like, I just think he's like, he just seems like he's so much fun. Like, every podcast he's been on, I'm like, you should be in media. I'm amazed. He's been playing for like a very long time.
Yeah. He's a really cool guy. He's a great teammate, a really good leader. And he has a podcast. I don't know if you're aware.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Good. So, yeah, I think everybody knows that he should be in media after soccer. And I think that he knows that, but he just doesn't want to stop playing, which.
That's
I don't blame him, but we'll see what happens.
So I think he's like, Gilmore, this guy's like 2 years, like, I think he's like 2 or 3 years our junior. Like, he's not young. He's been playing for like almost 20 years. So yeah, so that podcast that he does with Alan Gordon, I forget the other person, is kind of like the spiritual, it was the new BS podcast, and then Alan Gordon and Dax McCarty, other people did their own thing, which is kind of like the same idea, which is like, it's like current and older players come together just like to talk about this. And I think it's really cool to hear, just to hear their ideas. So how, okay. So you talked about national commentators. Which one do you like? Is there anyone where you're like, his stuff is pretty, pretty good?
Yeah, I don't know. You're not going to like this, but I don't know enough. Like, I don't,
that's totally fair. That's
I don't care enough to know. If that might be a bad answer, but
so you're not like Alexi Lalas, like, you know, all the time.
Correct. Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I'm more focused on enjoying the game rather than who's calling it.
Yeah. That makes total sense. How do you, when like you are trying to command your like back line, Tim Howard was like really famous for like he had a tick. And so I think it was the Everton fans had a chant that said like, we like you go Tim Timmery, Timmery, Tim Timmery, we have Tim Howard. And he says, F you. And he was like known for like being very blunt and would just like curse at people all the time to like get in their space. Like, how do you handle, like, are you like foul mouthed or are you just like, nope, this, like, are you like a commander or do you have like a different, like, what's like your, like, how do you like to kind of like command the like, you know, goalpost, if you will?
Yeah.
I'd be cursing up a storm, even though I wouldn't want to.
Yeah. I choose not to, to curse up a storm. I don't know. That was something that, I went that route in college for a little bit. But I didn't find it that effective. When people need to hear it, I'll give it to them. But at the end of the day, like, if you're just yelling at people all the time, they're not going to want to listen to you. So I try and find a balance of talking to guys before things happen and solving problems before, rather than just like yelling at them after the fact. So
yeah. Yeah. How cool is like Walker Zimmerman? He seems like he's pretty cool. This is me being just like really, I'm just like, I just want to know. Being totally selfish. Gomer seems so bored right now. I don't even care, Gomer. I'm asking this.
I think my answer's got to be the same as for Dax. I think
his hair is great.
He's a great guy. His hair's pretty nice. There's a lot of talk that he needs to cut it, which I'm not going to comment on, but yeah, he's a great guy. He's a faithful Christian.
I've heard that.
And yeah, but don't tell him I said that because he doesn't need to know that.
Yeah. And because he was on some like huge Christian podcast. I forget on which one. I'm just like, yeah, well, we're going to like have like Elliot on. So whatever. Is it like when you see a game like, you know, in the World Cup and you see two of your teammates that are playing in that game? So you had like Walker Zimmerman and you also had Shaq Moore. Like, what's that like? I mean, it's just like, is it almost like kind of, is it like, to me, that'd be just so crazy. But for like you, it's a little bit different because like this is like what you do, but it's still like the biggest stage. And this is the biggest team, at least the biggest non-Spanish speaking team in the like in the country is the U.S. men's national team. Like, how's that?
Yeah, it was really cool. I think kind of like how you were describing, you know, being an FCC fan and then you see me in the game and you're like, forget that. Like, I'm rooting for Elliot. Like,
yeah,
that's the feeling that I had when they got on the field. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm not rooting for the USA. Now I'm going to root for them. It's like, yeah, I'm going to root for the USA, but like, I'm way more excited to watch and to cheer because I know who they are. And
yeah,
having that like personal connection with somebody and watching them play, it's just, I don't know. It's a cool feeling and it's exciting. It's even more exciting to watch.
Yeah. Okay. Last one. How far do they get in the Copa America?
Okay. You have to remind me, do you know the groups? Do you know who's in the group?
Yeah. So there, it is, Panama and I think Peru and Uruguay.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think they'll finish top of the group, and not knowing anything else about the brackets, I think if they make it to the semis, you could call that a successful tournament. I mean, this isn't like CONCACAF, like Nations League, or this isn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like we're expecting to win or at least be in the final. Like, this is way different. So,
yeah,
I think if we get to the semis, I'd call that a win. Quarterfinals, you know, maybe that's where we should be. I don't know. I haven't looked into it enough, but that's just my initial thoughts.
You're not paying attention to, you know, I'm going to think about it at least once a week. You have other things to do.
Well, maybe I should pay attention more. I don't know.
I'm always just so curious because it's like your job, right? So it's like, sometimes I don't want to be reading about like fundraising stuff, you know, I do, but like, because you have like, I'm some people who are like, I don't pay attention at all after I'm done. Like, it's just, I just do not care. And it's kind of like all of the map.
Yeah. I think I'm somewhere in between. I think I love watching soccer, but when it comes to like predictions and keeping up with like projections about where teams are going to be and what's going to happen, that's usually where I draw the line. But if there's a game on, I'll definitely watch it for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. I tried to get Gomer into it, but it just hasn't. I'm taking it.
Hey, I've taken my family to multiple MLS games here in Houston. The Dynamos are fun. I mean, we lost both times, but it's fine. And, I always tell people, like, again, kind of like what you said about your wife, like, I don't follow any of this stuff. I don't follow any of it, and I don't care to, but I love watching it, right? I love watching soccer when I'm with people who love watching soccer and, you know, can explain things like, why do they just keep passing it? There's a goal right down there. They should go towards that goal. There's passing. You know, it's been 45 minutes and it feels like they haven't even tried. Oh, another corner kick. Okay. No, so I'm all about it. Like, my wife I get text messages from Catching Foxes fans who now watch NASCAR because of the two shows that Shannon's been on. And it is so funny, but people are just like, oh my gosh, these pit crews are crazy, right? And I honestly, when it's a race my wife cares about, which is all of them, unfortunately, but if there's something, like, I won't watch the whole thing because, I mean, come on, dear Lord. But y'all watch the last 2 hours. I'm excited. I can get excited. I can follow anything, but if you were to tell me, Gormley, you can have two options, follow sports or watch Matt Risinger from Austin, Texas, do another build show episode on YouTube, I'm choosing that 10 times out of 10. The guy is the dream when it comes to custom home building and thermal envelopes. What am I going to do with that?
I love that. I think one of the...
That's big dick energy.
One thing that I wanted to say as a big fan of Catching Foxes, I think what really hooked me on to the show was Luke and I both share a love for soccer, and that was really easy to grasp onto. But I feel like the YouTube religions, Gomer, I feel like that is where I really made a connection with you. And when you did the episode with Clean My Space,
oh my gosh, it killed me I wasn't on that.
That was all that I watched, and that is how I make products in our house. Is I go to her, yes, I go to her show, and that's how I make them. It's fantastic.
Oh my gosh,
it is so funny.
Not even kidding. Like, when he told me, I had a thought of like, we should interview the Clean My Space lady. I think we could get her on the show. And like the next day, Gomer goes, so I'm going to interview the Clean My Space lady. And I was just like, what? I was so bummed. Like, oh my gosh. It's so like, there's just something about like the feeling of you're doing it, but you're not. And then you get to do it for a bit. And then it's great. That just sticking in my veins.
So good.
So what's your current on the YouTube religion right now?
Right now, it is this couple who they quit their 9-to-5 job and they moved out to Texas and they built their like container home from scratch.
Hmm.
Just the two of them. So they've been doing it for years now. They've got their container home. They have like two or three kids now. And so now they're building like another container home that they're going to ship to the mountains that they're going to have as their like vacation home.
That's amazing.
So
we only live in containers. We are not building homes. We only live in containers.
Yeah, it's great.
That's so funny.
That is cool. Well, dude, I really appreciate you coming on to the podcast and just being unwilling to indulge me. And then and all of Gomer's stuff as well. But seriously, it's been really cool. It's been really cool to just like, I really do appreciate that you like I'm all that like you like reached out, because it's just I really do love to see what are, this is not, I'm not even kidding, this is not a plug for the Patreon. Like, it's just always great to see like people that support the show, like what they are doing. And so it's really cool to just be able to see the like, because like when you played in that like Leagues Cup like game, we had like a bunch of people on the Discord who were all like on a chat, like it was like an auto chat. We were just like all like watching it.
That's cool.
And it was just really cool. And so I just continue to just like hope that everything just keeps, you know, keeps going well. I did see that you've been getting a couple starts, so that was really cool to see.
Yes. So,
thank you again just for for all the craziness of me having to be like, oh, sorry, I asked the wrong time earlier. And I wish I could tell you that was not the norm, but
no, thank you guys.
However, yeah,
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you guys having me on and indulging me and keeping me on the show. So
anytime, man. Yeah.
Absolutely. This is great.
I was going to say, where can people find you on the wide? It's just, I'm so used to doing that I'm like, we just talked about it. You don't have social
where
media.
Where can people discover who you are if we haven't spent the entire time talking about it? Are you on Twitter?
So I know that you just said you don't know anything, but like, really, where can people find you?
So, yeah. What's your fake account on Twitter that you secretly post as? man, that Elliot guy sure is handsome.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's like a real thing with US soccer Twitter. There's one time where people were like, this is Christian Pulisic's dad. And I was like, can we just not?
One of the coolest things that, not one of the coolest things, but a cool thing that people have done on social media is they created a fan account for me, and it's called Panic at the Disco.
I saw that.
So I thought that was pretty clever.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. Well, dude, thank you again. Who do you guys play next?
We play Miami next. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We'll be down there. Not this weekend, but next.
I'll pay you $20 if you give Messi the Catching Foxes hello.
Oh, yes.
Just a little quick tussle of the hair.
I will do. I'll give it to him, and then win bonus is going to the Patreon page, so get ready for that.
There you go. Yeah.
Take that, Messi's mom.
And then run like hell from his security guard.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want any part of that guy.
Oh, shit, I can't run very far. I'm a goalkeeper.
He's so small but so fast. That's awesome.
Alrighty, guys, this is awesome, and now I'm keeping my kids up because I have paper thin walls where I record. Kateri and Cecilia must love you.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, God bless you, Elliot.
Thanks, guys.